Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse 9. As we look back on this chapter, we learn that the Christian is to worship God by offering himself to God, and that this constitutes rational activity. It's not irrational. It's not unintelligent. It seems like Paul is saying all of us understand that this is the sensible, rational, intelligent thing to do, because that's what our hearts and our minds tell us. And the Christian is not to let this world put him in a particular mold and shape his life, but we're to let the Word of God, as we renew our minds, shape us so that we live differently from the world. And as the Christian lives, he's to function in the body, that is, in the church. The church is the body of Christ. Every member is a member in particular, and Christ is the head of the body. We're not to overestimate our worth, but to evaluate who we are and what we do with a true and sensible degree of judgment, and always remember that by faith and through faith we accomplish the work of God. And as we live in this world, and as we try to live the transformed life, we understand that life consists as a Christian of action and reaction. For instance, as a Christian, there are certain things we are supposed to do. Also, as we live in the world, things happen to us, and we're supposed to react to these happenings in the way that Jesus would have us react to them, perhaps following one of the examples that he has set as he lived here during his life on earth. So as we consider action, we realize that we have to initiate some things. Seeing after the work of God, our involvement in witnessing, our involvement in caring for those people who have serious problems. There are some things we need to initiate. There are some things we need to do. But then again, much of life is knowing how to react to a circumstance or a situation. So in all of these things, we're told to go and do. We're also told how we can react to evil in the world and how we can react to good in the world, and in so doing live what we might choose to call the transformed life. So these are some of the characteristics, and these are some of the things we do as God's people functioning in the body because we seek to live the transformed life. Notice in verse 9, let love be without dissimulation. The word here that's translated love as agape, it means the highest, holiest kind of love, the kind of love that God is. This kind of love is a very characteristic of God himself. Let it be done without dissimulation. This word is hypocrisy. So Paul is saying, do not love with a simulated love. Love with that love that is genuine and sincere, because love done in hypocrisy is really not love. And this is the problem with hypocritical love. It simply isn't love. Hypocritical love doesn't do the things that honest, sincere love will do. Hypocritical love is for the doer's sake. It's for the person who is exercising hypocritical love to do things so that that person will be looked upon, talked about, bragged about, and respected and reverenced. But true love doesn't seek its own. True love doesn't do what it does in order to be seen of men. So Paul says the first thing that we do, at least in the order of his giving them, as we seek to live the transformed life, is to live genuinely, or rather to love genuinely and sincerely. Do not practice hypocritical love. Abhor that which is evil. I think I understood this word abhor a little better when I found out that it means to actually respond to something by shuddering. Just, we see something so horrible, we see something so evil, we see something so overwhelmingly destructive that when we see it or when we think of it, we literally shudder. And this is what Paul means by abhor that which is evil. And here the word that's translated evil means that which causes pain or that which causes sorrow. In other words, when we see something happening that's causing pain or grief or sorrow, whether it's literal or whether it's in the heart or in the mind or in the spirit, that seeing this happen causes us to literally shrink back from it and shudder. That's to be our attitude toward anything that causes grief or agony or pain. And I think I can say that Paul probably has in mind that which causes grief or sorrow or pain to the body of Christ or to any of the members of the body of Christ. We ought to literally shrink back and shudder in horror because this is so abhorrent to us. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. The word that's cleave here means to glue, stick to. It has in it the idea of cementing to something and joining something to something else. That which is good should probably be translated the good thing. So what's Paul saying? Stick real tight to all that which is good in itself. When there's a good thing, then stick to it. That's literally what Paul is saying. So if there's a good activity, if there's a good work, if there's a good attitude, if there's a good saying, if there's some whatever it is, the thing that's good, whatever's good, just glue yourself to it and stick to it, because this is living the transformed life. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. Kindly affection is the affection that a mother has for a child or the child has for its parents. Be kindly affectioned. It's the affection that's full of tenderness. It denotes this delicate affections that are natural. They have to do with the cherishing of one's parents or the cherishing of one's children. The word brotherly love means love of the brethren. So the idea is love one another, the brothers. This means the membership of the church. All of you love one another with kindly affectioned love that a son will have for his father or mother, or a mother and father will have for a son or daughter. Let it be that kind of love. Love one another. With what kind of love? The love that has in it natural tenderness. In honor, preferring one another. The word honor simply means to respect or have esteem. The word preferring means to lead forward or go before or take the lead. And his admonition is that we outdo one another in showing honor and respect. That we, you know, there's competition in sports and there's competition in a lot of other areas of life. And yet Paul is saying, literally have competition in showing honor one to another. Always placing, honoring someone else above the honoring of yourself. But it has in it the idea of conscious effort. Seek to honor one another and outdo one another in honoring one another. Not slothful in business. Slothful means slow or tardy or idle. The word business here really doesn't mean the business you run or you own or you manage in order to make money. That's not the meaning of this word at all. The word that's translated business means haste or speed. And it literally means an earnest, serious purpose. So what's Paul saying? Never be tardy in those things that have a serious purpose. Now that makes some kind of sense, doesn't it? Never be tardy or late in doing, I think that's a better translation perhaps, never be late and tardy in doing or reluctant to do the things that have serious purposes. And oftentimes, you know, we don't apply to our spiritual activity the same kind of dedication that we will to other things. And it's so easy to say of what we intend to do, well, we'll be sure and get that tomorrow. We'll be sure and write that letter of appreciation to someone that we think did a good job, or I didn't mention this, but I can get to it next week, or this person was ill, and I sure need to call them tomorrow. It's easy for us to put off and be tardy in doing the things that are of a very serious nature. And I think what Paul is saying is this: when you look at a circumstance and you see that it's very serious and it has eternal consequences, the witnessing to lost friends, loved ones, or people, that these are of such a serious consequence that we need to treat them with sincerity and honesty and not put them off, but to look at them for what they are and apply ourselves to them with energy, not slothful in doing that which is of a serious nature. Fervent in spirit, that is, the life that we have in the Spirit, let it be a zealous kind of life. Let it be boiling. Let it be fervent. Let it be hot. Let us have energy and enthusiasm in doing the things of God, serving the Lord. This means to be a slave. And the Lord, of course, is Jesus Christ. So what are we doing? Well, we are serving the Lord as a slave served his master, then rejoicing in hope, to be glad, to be delighted. The word hope means expectation of something future that will bring good. If it's going to hurt us, we don't hope for it. Now, the difference in faith and hope is that we can have faith that something bad is going to happen, but we can't have hope that something bad is going to happen, because hope always expects something good. So we always say, well, I hope that this comes to pass because it will be beneficial and helpful to me. But we can have faith in anything, and that perhaps is one of the differences in faith and hope. But Paul said, have hope that creates in us a rejoicing. And I think that's easy for us to comprehend. The expectation of some future good always brings about a good attitude. Patient tribulation. I like this word, patient. The word that's translated here, patient, means to stay after everybody else has left. And it really means to stay under the load, to remain under the burden, to not let go and walk off when everybody else is laying it down and leaving. So it has in the idea of a person who sees to things even after others have decided it's all over, it's all finished, it's all done. This kind of patient person stays behind to pick up the pieces and see that everything's in its place. Patient, what? In tribulation. This means pressure. Literally, compression. We might call it stress. And it means to remain under a job or involved in a circumstance, even when the pressure really gets tough. Go ahead and stay with it and see it through, maybe even remaining under it longer than other people do and seeing after it after everybody else has decided there's no need for anybody else to be involved in it. It's just the kind of looking after things, seeing after things, having a concern for things, even past the normal view, past the normal time, just to make sure that everything's all right. Continuing instant in prayer. Now, this is the kind of life that a person lives who's transformed. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. How are we going to live? What is the transformed life? What is the life that's different to the lifestyle of the world that we're not to be conformed to and live like? Continuing instant in prayer. To be strong or firm towards anything. To be continually in with or near any person or anything. So it literally means stay close to God, always speaking to Him. It's just like be in continually in the presence of this person. And not only in the presence of this person, but Paul says, looking at the face. It has in the idea of turning around and looking at the person's face and engaging in constant conversation, which is prayer. So, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, be a partaker of or in anything with any person, and share in common what you have with those people who are in poverty, who have a need, who are in want, and who have a need of the things you have. Given to hospitality. The word given means to set in quick motion. It's the kind of action that a person springs up out of their chair and says, here, let me do this for you. Instead of sitting in the chair and saying, hey, take your chair over there. This has in the idea of spring into motion. Get the chair and say, here, would you like a chair? It's that idea of giving. Not just that you have a pretension toward it or that you have an interest in it, but it literally means that if you're given an opportunity to exercise hospitality, that you instantly spring to it. Have you noticed a sort of a theme and a key in all of these things? I have. In all of them, there seems to be the idea of an intense interest, of an overriding concern. Hasn't the idea of doing it quickly and doing it well, of being immersed in it and being involved in it in a very total way, that nothing that we do is taken in a casual sort of if we do or if we don't kind of attitude. There is an urgency about all of this and an attitude about all of this that is pleasing to God and works well in His work. Bless them which persecute. Here's where the reaction comes in. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. The word bless is difficult to define. Here it probably means to speak well of in the sense of offering praise. And persecution means to pursue after or to pursue with hatred. I think as a Christian in this particular point of time in Rome, there was a lot of malignity, hatred that was directed toward Christians. And Paul is saying, when a person pursues you in life with great bitterness and hatred, then speak well or praise that person. Now that's a difficult concept. But I think what Paul is saying is this. When people are misusing you and abusing you, then offer them kindness in return. Because this is not only supported by Paul's writings in other places, it is supported by the teaching of Christ Himself. And it's the upward road. It's not the way the world does it. It's not the way that we even perceive sometimes it ought to be done. That is to praise or speak well of the person who in bitterness seeks us and seeks to harm us. And yet this is the meaning of this statement, and it has to do with living the transformed life. This is the essence of Christianity, the way we act in the world and the way we react to the world. And there are several more of these, God willing, we'll be looking at Sunday morning. Now, this is the practical, this is the very bottom line of who we are and what we do. There's theology, that is, there are those things we believe, concepts, principles, but then there's the action. There is the actual doing of the thing, the actual living of the life. And it involves this kind of behavior. Our musicians will come, and as they come, we'll stand and sing hymn of invitation. And as we do this evening, if you're here, you're lost, this is not really what you need to do. That is, this is not the way you react in order to be saved. This is the way God's people act. This is the way God's people react. If you're here and you're lost, the thing you need to do is trust Christ in simplicity and sincerity. Just take Him as your Savior, believe in Him, trust Him, then receive the baptism that this church offers, become a part of the body, be a working member in the body, then be transformed and have a new kind of lifestyle that honors the Lord and imitates His lifestyle.